Let's pray. Father, please help us. Help us to understand and respond to your word. Well, in 1998, a group of primary school students in America heard about how people in Sudan were being captured and sold as slaves. And so, with the help of their teachers, they decided to do something about it. They started raising money to free people who were caught in slavery. They sent their money through an organisation who would contact the slave traders, and they would buy captives for between $50 and $100 and then set them free. And no doubt, because of their efforts, many of the 8,000 captives who were freed in this way were grateful for the love and the concern that was shown by these school children. But after a while, people began to realise that something wasn't working. By increasing the demand in the slave economy, the business of the slave traders began to boom. And there was actually an increase in the number of raids on villages, and more people were being taken into slavery. And from 1995 to 1999, a typical raiding party grew from 400 people to 2,500 people. Not only this, but some groups began to pretend to be kidnapped in order to go and approach the Americans and collect their $100 each. So what happened here? Clearly, the children and their teachers and the organisation who was doing this work had very good intentions. But they didn't predict how others would respond to their actions. What they didn't have was enough wisdom. Let me give you another example, closer to home. This is an imaginary example, but I'm sure you can see quite realistic. A Christian is grieving the unexpected loss of a loved one. And so a well-meaning friend decides to visit and cheer him up. Friend comes over, gives a short lecture about the sovereignty of God, says, "Yeah, I went through something similar, but the joy of the Lord got me through it, so don't be too sad, everything works out for the best." And then the well-meaning friend goes home feeling like they've done a good deed, where the grieving person is left alone feeling even worse than they did before, feeling judged, feeling like maybe there's something wrong with them because they're sad. Now again, the friend is sincerely trying to help, yeah? But without really understanding what grieving people need. And so there's good intentions, wisdom required. Friends, we've just finished our series in 1 John. And one of the big themes, one of the repeated commands, is that we must love one another. And we saw in 1 John, we saw that it's one thing to talk about love. It's another thing to turn that willingness into action. But can you see that it's another thing again to be effective with our loving action? To be effective, we need wisdom. We need to understand ourselves, we need to understand others, we need to understand our culture in a way that enables us to make the right decisions at the right time. And that's why for the next few months we're going to be working through a number of passages from the book of Proverbs. And this morning I want to introduce the book to you, or more accurately, this book introduces itself, and I want to walk you through that introduction. Look with me at verse 1. Verse 1 tells us that this book comes from a wise man, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. You remember from our Bible reading that Solomon was the wisest man in the world. When he was a young king, God more or less offered him a blank check, asked for anything you want. And Solomon very wisely asked for wisdom. Wisdom to be a good king, wisdom to be a fair king. And God was delighted to give him what he asked for, so that people were sent from all nations to listen to Solomon's wisdom. There was something wonderful, something attractive that was going on here. And so what we have in this book is a collection of sayings that King Solomon gathered up. Some of what we find in this book would have been common sayings that were going around the people of Israel at that time, and even further afield from Egypt and other places that Solomon found and went, yeah, that's wise. I'll take that. I'll write that down. I'll add that to my collection. Some of what's in here no doubt would have been Solomon's own observations about life. Verse 2 tells us that these proverbs have been written down and collected and given to us so that we can get wisdom. Think about this. Some of our wisdom, how do we get wisdom in life? Some of our wisdom comes from our experience. As we live in the world, we learn from our mistakes and our successes, but more from our mistakes, isn't that true? And we sort of figure out how things work. But as a wise man once said, we've got to be willing to learn from the mistakes and the experience of others, because we can't afford to make them all ourselves. And so this book is an opportunity to learn from a wise man who was also a great collector of wisdom. Verse 3 makes it clear that this book gives us wisdom on how to live life. How to live a disciplined life. How to live a prudent life. Prudent means you think about how my actions today will impact me and impact others in the future. That's what prudent is about. He says this is wisdom for doing. This is wisdom for doing what is right and just and fair. And that's helpful. That helps us see that wisdom is not the same as skill. One of the most skillful musicians of the 20th century was Jimi Hendrix. He was a brilliant guitarist. He was voted Pop Musician of the Year when he was 25 years old. And yet his brother reflects on that time and says, actually, the more famous he got, the less happy he became. Hendrix was the world's highest paid performer in his time. And yet, he couldn't manage money. It was reported that he didn't know how much he had in the bank. He didn't even know which bank it was in. And for day-to-day expenses, he often had to borrow from people around him. And of course, he tragically died, age 27, of a drug overdose. So skillful, and yet not able to make wise decisions for living. Similar way, wisdom is also different from intelligence. Albert Einstein, is he the most intelligent person of the 20th century? Brilliant mind. But when it came to family life, there's been letters that have come out in recent years which show a disastrous marriage where he had multiple affairs. And towards the end of his marriage, he drew up this contract with his wife where he demanded that she will provide him with clean clothes and meals 3 times a day and a clean house, and she must not expect any personal relations with him, and she must agree to stop talking at any moment if he requested it. And so she divorced him. Such an intelligent man. Not wise. Now, I realise I'm sharing a number of negative examples, aren't I? But isn't that the world we live in? We live in a world which is lacking wisdom. If we lived in a world of wise people, If we lived in a world where everybody was living a disciplined and a prudent life, where people knew what's right and just and fair and did it, well, we wouldn't need books on wisdom. But because we live in the world that we live in, we need this book. And verse 4 tells us that this book is especially for the young, because we're not born with wisdom. In fact, here's an interesting thing. Research indicates that brain development continues right into our mid-20s. It's not until that time that the parts of our brains which recognise danger are fully mature. And car insurance companies know about this, because if you're under 25, you have to pay more. Many times in the book of Proverbs, we're going to come across it saying, my son, remember this, my son, listen to this. It seems quite likely that this book was some sort of life training textbook for the young princes in the palace to prepare them to be wise kings. If we remember that, these are the words from the king to his son, from father to son, that'll actually help us make sense of why the book is written in the way that it is. For example, you know, why is it that in Proverbs there's a chapter about how to choose a good wife, but there isn't a chapter on how to choose a good husband? Well, it's not that, you know, the other side isn't important, but that this book is written to the young blokes. They, you know, that's the question that they need to deal with. Now, that doesn't mean that the rest of you, the women and the older people, can't also benefit from this book. Because look what it says in verse 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. So the rest of us are invited to listen in on this conversation between father and son, and to learn from what's going on. Because that's what wise people do. Wise people keep on learning. The fool, verse 7, look down at verse 7, the fool despises wisdom. The fool doesn't want to learn. The fool knows everything already. What more could he possibly learn? But the wise man is actually aware of how little wisdom he has. The wise man is always searching for more wisdom. If you think that you are wise, you should think again. Because if we aren't actively gaining wisdom, striving after wisdom, well, then it's possible that we are actually sliding back into foolishness. Do you know the end of the story of Solomon? It's very ironic, the story of Solomon, that when he was old, he stopped listening to his own advice. And you can read about that in the book of 1 Kings, about the foolishness of Solomon in his old age and the consequences of his foolishness and his disobedience for the whole nation. It's a story that's designed to show us that as God's people, we need a king who is even wiser than Solomon. It's a longing which is fulfilled, of course, in Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. But let's not jump too far ahead. We'll get to that. The final reason that we need this book is that it doesn't just contain wisdom, but it tells us about how to get wisdom. It gives us a method for gaining wisdom. Verse 6 says it's for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. That's really helpful, because let's face it, the world we live in today is significantly different from the world of 1000 BC. I mean, people are people. Human nature is human nature. We'll see that everything that it says here is absolutely true and useful for our world, but there's a whole lot of new questions we've got. Today we need wisdom on how we use the internet. The internet could be used really wisely to promote good communication with people we love. Or it could take over our lives and we can waste our days on trivial things, or even worse. We need wisdom in the way we manage income and expenses and loan repayments and phone contracts and vehicle maintenance and education costs and the legal complexities. Solomon kind of dealt with those questions on one level, but not quite how we are today. But there's no shortage of information in the world. In fact, one of our problems is we have too much information. You do a Google search and you get 1,000 different results, and somehow we need to process that and we need to filter that and we need to recognise, okay, what's helpful and wise advice and what's unhelpful and foolish advice. And so we even need wisdom on how to gain wisdom. And that's what Solomon says this book is for. Solomon will give us some useful pointers on how to understand the sayings of the wise. And so, dear friends, do you have good intentions in life? I'm sure you do. But can you see that if you want to make the best of these good intentions, then what you desperately need is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 says, "Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding." So the message today is simple. Do you have good intentions? Well then, wisdom is required. And so the take-home question is, are you living a wisdom-seeking life? Are you still learning? You can make the quest for wisdom part of your prayer life. James, the brother of Jesus, says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Isn't that a great promise? Ask God, he will give you wisdom. Let me leave you with a suggestion. Can you complete for me this English proverb? An apple a day... Yeah, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I remember when I was a teenager, the pastor in our church observed that there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs and 31 days in most months. And so he used to say, a chapter of Proverbs a day keeps the devil away. And I think that's wise. Maybe some of you here will take that up. But actually, that's not quite my suggestion. I don't want to dump a whole chapter a day reading program on you right at this moment, because I know that those of you who are wise are already working through reading the Bible. You've already got some sort of program and approach that you're halfway through, and I don't want you to throw out what you're already doing. Also, a whole chapter of there's a lot in Proverbs. Actually, it's a lot of stuff to process. And I don't know if I'd really manage to properly process a chapter of Proverbs a day. Sometimes it's better to have quality reflection, to think about a few words than just to read a lot. So here's my much more simple and modest proposal. In your newsletter, there is a handout with 31 proverbs on it. And I'll just try to select a range of topics. And my advice is, why don't you take this home and stick it on the place where you keep your bread. So I don't know, do you keep your bread in the fridge? Do you keep it in the pantry? And each day, when you go to get a slice of bread and stick it in the toaster, take 10 seconds to read one of these proverbs, because man shall not live by bread alone. And as you read it, you might want to highlight it or circle it or tick it or, you know, just to keep a track of where you're up to. And having read that, you can think during the day. Some of these, they take a bit of thought to really see what's this saying and how does this impact my life. It's a little pearl of wisdom. So each day, you have one proverb to think through. Friends, we need wisdom. If we want to live effectively for God's kingdom, If we want to love each other effectively, we need wisdom. So let's seek wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the all-wise God. You are working your plans effectively to bring us into your kingdom, to bring us to maturity in Christ. Lord, we ask that you will give us wisdom as we seek to live lives which honour you and please you, as we seek to build one another up, as we seek to care for each other, as we seek to reach the lost. Please give us wisdom. Please help us to filter through all that information out there and to be able to recognise what is good and helpful and wise. Please enable us to have effective relationships with one another. Please enable us to wisely understand ourselves in order to exercise self-control and discipline. Please help us, Father. Please give us wisdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.